Our reading today is Luke 24, verses 1 to 12, and it will be read by Alison Taylor. Over to you, Alison, for our reading.
Good morning, church family. This morning's reading is taken from Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why did you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Alison, very much. Father God, as we engage with your word, we pray that you will help us to rejoice in the good news of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. One Easter a few years ago, an archdeacon in London was interviewed about a survey which the Sunday Times had done, which apparently showed that many clergy didn't even know the basic facts of the Easter story. The two questions mentioned were, who was the first disciple who entered the tomb? Who was released when Jesus was crucified? Apparently only about a half knew the answer, or perhaps it was more true that only a half believed it was the Sunday Times who was ringing them. The fact is that this is probably part of an increasing ignorance about what the Bible teaches and about what the Bible means by what it teaches. In some senses, it's understandable. The Bible is no longer seen as true by many people. The Bible is seen as one of a series of equally or valid or invalid religious books. The Bible is seen as irrelevant. And in many schools today, you'll hardly engage with it at all. It will be the faith story that is least told. And so we end up with an ignorance of basic Bible stories. And one of our great privileges as a church family is that we have been able to go into our local schools and take the Christian message, but to be welcomed to do that. And we continue to be thankful to God for that. But if people are ignorant of basic Bible stories, they're even more ignorant of an understanding of what those stories mean. Why each gospel writer, for instance, selects the material they select to tell their particular gospel. Why does Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have in their books what they have? Well, because they are carefully selecting what they tell. So we're going to look at what Luke shows us about the resurrection. Why does Luke choose these things? Well, first we see there were surprising witnesses. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. The fact that the women were the last to leave the cross, the first to follow Joseph to the tomb, and the first to arrive on that Easter morning shows something of their commitment and loyalty. The men were either back fishing or locked in a room. The men had deserted Jesus. and by action or word denied him as well. Yet these women remained, despite all the questions and concerns they must have had. These women were surprising witnesses, because in the culture of the day, the witness of women was not acceptable, not to be trusted. Now, it is in some senses surprising that God chose women to be the first witnesses to the resurrection. But it reminds us again that God's choice of who he uses is determined by his perfect knowledge of who is the right person for his purposes. It's not dependent on current cultural standards or on present rules. God chooses who he wills to fulfill the tasks that are important for his plans. It's actually an important lesson for the church. Sometimes we find people exercising ministry, undertaking roles, people we are not sure about, and then we need to be honest and ask ourselves, is this because I didn't think God would want this person to fulfill this role? Or is it simply a more, perhaps, human bias or cultural reasons? God uses surprising people. When I was training to be a clergy person, the truth was that we were a very white, middle-class training college. And I have to be honest and say the church recently has said that is still a bit of a problem about where the people who come to train come from, that it is a very quite narrow band. And part of that is because we don't take seriously this truth, that God engages with, involves, and trusts people of all different backgrounds. And we have to be aware of that. So when I was at college, there was amongst our year only one person of colour, a black man who felt, I know, very isolated because of that. We meet need as church family and as church nationally and internationally to recognise that God uses surprising people. I can remember when I worked for a city church which had at that stage in the 1980s just a lot of very well-dressed people who were suited, and the idea of having ear studs and such like things was an anathema. One of the staff members who was appointed came in with his ear studs and such like, and it took people a while to accept him. But we must let God be God and surprise us by who he uses. The choice of the women would certainly have surprised the disciples and the people of their day. But God uses, involves in his work a whole variety of people, and sometimes, perhaps often, surprises us. Secondly, we see some surprising facts. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As the women approached the tomb, they're surprised. The stone was rolled away, the body is gone. Luke tells us they were wondering. While they were wondering about this, probably wondering what had happened, probably wondering what to do. And it doesn't get much better, really. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them in their fright. Wonder was replaced by fear, and you can understand why. Even though, as we will see, Jesus had warned them about what would happen, they're surprised. They hadn't expected this turn of events. Jesus had surprised them all the way through his life, and his resurrection was no less a surprise to them. He was often doing things they hadn't expected. We've seen that in our studies through Mark, as we've gone through Mark, where the disciples go, how does he do that? And again, we can recognise how this is often true of us as well. We expect certain things to go in certain ways, and when they do not, we are shocked and surprised. Even when we should have understood how God acts, because his word and spirit have made it clear, there are times when God surprises us. We so often are surprised that God works in ways that we both don't expect, but we should not be. Sometimes those surprises are really nice. Sometimes we are surprised by God's graciousness and mercy and grace. I have to say that when we came to Herne Bay and were welcomed so well and have had such fun in ministry here, I have constantly thanked God for the surprise that this is where we ended up, because it wasn't on our radar at all. But sometimes those surprises are harder to understand. There have been times, and there well may have been times over this last year, where you have had surprises and you thought, Lord, what's this all about? What's going on here? I know there have been times in my life where I've recognised that as the truth and the reality. But we should not be surprised that God works in surprising ways. The women found that out, and what they found out really helped and encouraged them. We need to cultivate spiritual eyesight that leads us to a place where we see God at work, even when he surprises us, so that we don't wander unnecessarily or fear unnecessarily. We need to develop that, Lord, give me that discernment that sees what you're about and what you're doing. There were surprising witnesses, there were surprising facts. Thirdly, they are surprisingly slow. Verse 5, in their fright the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The man, Son of Man, must be delivered over to the hand of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. The angel question is actually to help the women understand what's really going on. The startling question gets to the root of the matter immediately. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not to be sought among the tombs, among the dead. It's not the place he would or could be found. His place is amongst the living. And the angels remind them that this was what Jesus predicted, that this was meant to be no surprise to them. They probably should have arrived at the tomb and expected it to be empty, but they didn't, of course. His resurrection should have been no surprise. It was part of his leading, part of his teaching. It had happened just as he said. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hand of sinners. We saw that on Friday. Be crucified. We saw that on Friday. And on the third day be rose again. You're seeing this now, women. And if the women are surprisingly so, just look at the men. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and two of the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Notice they were women who were known to the apostles to have been changed by Jesus, to be his followers, to be those who were truthful and trustworthy. These were good eyewitnesses. That's why God had chosen them, of course. But verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. The apostles are incredibly slow to learn. And Peter, well, Peter. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what has happened. With the women's witness, with the word of Jesus before he died, with the evidence of the empty tomb, he still wonders what has happened. Now, it's very easy for us to be critical of their slow response. But Luke wants us to understand that if they were slow to understand what God was about, then we should not be surprised when at times we are too. We shouldn't be surprised too when others are slow to get it. Now, of course, we have certain advantages. We do have the whole story. They were engaging with it on the actual day it happened. But we must recognize that actually sometimes we read God's word and do not work out the consequences of what God says. We too are sometimes surprisingly slow to understand and accept God's word. I was very privileged to become a Christian at the age of 12 on a Pathfinder camp in Guernsey. But the truth is, I had had the gospel explained to me by good people beforehand. And I've been very privileged throughout my Christian life to be in churches where the Bible is taught and to be able to teach the Bible to others. And yet sometimes I recognize how slow I have been to understand it and to live out the consequences of God's word. And I guess you may feel the same too sometimes. But the great news about this Easter story is we know that Peter's going to get it. We know that Peter's going to get and be and when we hear him preaching in Acts, what does he preach about most often? The resurrection. Because he's so excited by the victorious nature of Jesus conquering death. And so you and I on this Easter Sunday can rejoice. Rejoice that, like Peter, perhaps sometimes we've been slow in grasping things, but now we've grasped them and we thank God that we have. Now that doesn't mean we will always understand everything that happens to us. But the more we engage with God, the more we listen to him, the more we try to see things from his perspective, the more we'll understand what he's about, and that will be good for us. Peter and the women understand the resurrection. We know that because the women go and tell them. We know that because Peter in Acts goes, he's alive. So on this Easter Sunday morning, let's rejoice in the graciousness of God. Easter is such good news. There is none better. Like the women, will we commit ourselves afresh to understand God's way, to understand God's word, to understand all the good things God has planned for us? And may we rejoice in the great news that death is beaten. Death has been in the news this week in a way that it's never been in the news before, really. It's been in the news because of all that the world has faced. The world needs this message that death is conquered more than it's ever needed it before. And we have the privilege as God's people to be able to point to the fact of the resurrection, the victory of the resurrection. Say, look, we've come to understand that this is true, and being true, these are the consequences. Death is defeated. We have the privilege, the joy, the wonder of being able to offer the world what they need more than anything else. the knowledge that death is defeated. And as Luke continues, we'll see more of this next week. But this week, on this Easter Sunday, will you join with me in rejoicing that God has conquered death and offers life, and that you and I have been privileged, however slow we were to understand that, that if we had turned to trust this risen Jesus, we have come to understand the best news in the world. And will you join with me in shouting that news to a world that desperately needs it? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for the victory over death that Jesus won. We pray that you would help us to be confident in that victory and able to share it with all we know, both those who do know you and those who have yet to understand the glory of putting our trust in the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.